When did you become aware that these islands are considered a special sacred site for the Algonquin and other First Nations peoples?
Well, I would say at our first public consultation, which was last Christmas, we had some people show up, including Claudette Commanda, who's the granddaughter of William Commanda. And so it was in around that time we had been, starting engaging in conversations with a broad number of people. And so certainly it was around that time that we were recognizing how important these lands were to First Nations people.
Okay, so were you at that time, it was Jonathan was presenting at the hearing, and he was saying that you'd engage with both the Algonquins of Ontario and the Kitigan-Zibi Algonquin. Were at that time, were you already consulting with them?
Yeah, at that point in time, we were embarking on engaging with them, having conversations and dialogue.
Okay, and so becoming aware that this is a special sacred site, do you still feel it's appropriate to be building private and commercial developments on it?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, as we started embarking on in conversations with Algonquins of Ontario and Kitigan-Zibi, it did become clear to us this is an important site, and the most critical piece was certainly falls. So the access to the falls, there has been no access for well over 100 years. It's been fenced off, industrial site, contaminated, and to us that is not an appropriate response. And so we did view in our master plan that it was critically important that we get public access to those falls. And of course, when I say public access, I mean, getting First Nations there, but also part of Commander's vision was First Nations and others that we get access. We don't have any control to remove the dam, but be able to get access for people to those falls and remediate that contaminated site. And of course, provide public gathering spaces. So all those things became critical elements, critical objectives as part of our master plan. And I think if you look at our final master plan, you see those objectives realized.
I'm not sure if you've heard, but the Kitigan-Zibi chief has put a letter to the council. Are you aware of that?
No, I was not aware of that.
Yeah, so on Friday he sent a letter to council asking them to not rezone at the present time and asking for dialogue between the city and the Kitigan-Zibi First Nation. So I was wondering if, yeah.
I was not aware of that.
Okay.
That's unfortunate that he wouldn't have copied us on that correspondence.
Okay, well, yeah, because I was going to ask the nature of when Jonathan had said you'd been engaging with Kitigan-Zibi, what was your impression of that engagement?
Well, we've been having good conversation. My impression was we still have a ways to go. But my impression was that there are a lot of shared values, certainly, a strong commitment to sustainability. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at our website, but we have a long-standing commitment to building some of the greenest, most environmentally friendly real estate in Canada. We're one of a small handful of developments around the globe recognized by the Clinton Climate Initiative. So there was that strong values about sustainability and respect for Mother Earth and actually positively trying to work together to fix a lot of the problems that industrialization has wrought on planet Earth. So there was, those real shared values that we had conversation and dialogue around. There was, I would say, real shared interest in, looking for economic opportunities and jobs. There was shared interest and values in providing access to the falls and using that as an opportunity to promote peace and reconciliation. I would suggest, that we still had a ways to go. We weren't, we weren't at a spot where it was, you know, fait accompli, and we had signed off on things. But I would say they were, you know, good, respectful conversations in the beginning of what would be, you know, a very long dialogue.
I guess, like, from what I've heard, is that this isn't usually, it's kind of a new thing, or to be actually consulting with the native peoples of the land. So can you, like, was that something you had in from the outset that you wanted to do that kind of consultation?
Well, I will say, I mean, we, as far, both, I've heard from representation on, and both the Algonquin of Ontario and Kitigan-Thebe, that we are the first private sector real estate developer to ever come talk to them, despite the entire Ottawa Valley being unceded Algonquin territory.
Yeah.
So that includes my house, presumably. That may include your house, you know, includes the Parliament buildings. So the way we like to work is be as consultative and collaborative and engage with people and get into dialogue with people and try and create communities and developments that are as respectful as possible while still working within economic constraints. We're, you know, we're not a charity. We provide, you know, jobs and employment for our people by doing developments, but we try and do developments by that are respectful and engage as many people as we can.
Yeah.
So that was our intent right from the get-go, was to try and engage as many people as we could, environmental groups. We had conversations with people like Ecology Ottawa and the River Keeper, and having conversations with heritage advocacy groups and so on.
And I guess when you're talking about the consultation, I guess the last question I'd have is just, what's your response to the people that came out to the hearing on last week, on Thursday, I think it was. I think it was all but three people spoke out against the rezoning proposal or the application.
Yeah, so in some ways, that was certainly surprising. As you know, we had two full public open houses where we threw the doors wide open. Anyone could come. You know, allowed anyone who showed up to come on in. And at both of those responses, I would say we had probably about a 99.5% positive response to those, you know, wide open public consultations. So, so it was surprising on that element. But I would say that we are really open for dialogue. We're open for conversation. We want to find ways to try and make this be a respectful conversation. And what I would be hoping to say to people is to say, look, you know, give us a call. You saw how easy it is to get in touch with us. Yeah. We want to have conversation. We want to have dialogue. We want this to be respectful. I did in my background is as a lawyer. I did some work doing First Nations law for a company called Woodward & Company, working on behalf of First Nations. So we're very open to dialogue and conversation. We don't want it to be combative or gotcha type politics, and we look forward to continuing trying to engage and seeing whether there's opportunities to deliver on core elements of Commanda's vision, like access to the faults, like remediating the site, like providing some gathering spaces for the public, while still you know, creating a real sustainability showpiece, mixed-use development.
Yeah. Okay.